Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, the subject is how central Wisconsin businesses can be made profitable and thrive in today's global marketplace. We often focus on the downside of globalization, and some would say for good reason. Our manufacturing jobs have been outsourced overseas. Our national unemployment rate is stuck at the 9% level. All levels of government have been hit hard by declining tax revenues. Our social safety net has been cut just when those services are needed the most. More Americans are living in poverty. We owe hundreds of billions of dollars to China, and there is a sense that America will never again be the world's one dominant economic superpower. Fairly or not, there are many who blame globalization and free trade agreements for our current situation. But there is another side of this story, one that says American and Wisconsin businesses can profit from globalization, and for that we turn to our guests. David Ward is the CEO of North Star Economics, Gene Bergener, the Vice President of Post-Acute Care at Aspirus Hospital, and also independent economic consultant Mary Roberts, the former Director of Business Retention and Expansion with the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce. Today's show will preview a conference on global competitiveness scheduled for October 6th at the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus in Wausau, a conference sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce, and Centergy. As always, we want you to join the conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. This is your show. You can join the conversation again at 1-800-780-9742. Mary, Gene, and David, thanks so much for being with us today.
Pleasure to be with you.
Mary, tell us, since you've been involved in organizing this conference on October 6th, a conference titled Positioning Central Wisconsin to Better Compete in the Global Economy, what are you trying to accomplish?
Yes, I came to the WIPS organization, Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy, and talked with their director, Eric Giordano. I approached him about 7 months about this idea and intending to sponsor this conference and get cooperative sponsors. He was quite excited about it, and my impetus really is and was that I think that our area in central Wisconsin, sometimes much of Wisconsin, is being a bit isolationist and rather rural and really not embracing the global economy like they should.
And what are the consequences if we don't do that, in your view?
The consequences are that we're not going to be aware of trends, global trends. We're not going to be prepared to act on those trends. We will lose more jobs. And I think we just need to get up to speed and realize that manufacturing is vitally important, but it's not the only sector that produces jobs or the only sector that brings in dollars to our community and central Wisconsin.
Now, you've managed to get the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce involved in this and also Centergy. What is Centergy for people who aren't aware of it?
Centergy is spelled C-E-N-T-E-R-G-Y, and it's kind of a takeoff from the word energy, and it's an economic, it's a regional economic development group that works with three counties essentially, or four, Adams, Portage, Wood County, and Marathon County, and that particular ED group is headed up by Barb Fleisner.
And you've got a number of top CEOs participating in this. You've got Michael Knetter, who's the president and CEO of the UW Foundation of Madison, Dick Johnson, executive vice president of retail stores, Foot Locker of New York, Dwayne Irwin and Gene Bergener, who's with us today, the president and CEO and the vice president of post-acute care at Aspirus. Also, Glenn Tellick, who's the CEO of the Manitowoc Company, which is an industry leader in manufacturing cranes and food service equipment. They've got operations in 20 countries worldwide. So you've got quite a mix of top professionals, all with central Wisconsin experience, but they're all from very different fields.
Yes, and this was intentional. We wanted to have many sectors participating, and a lot of people are very interested in the manufacturing center and want to regain manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin, some of which I think will be possible. But The Manitowoc Company and Mr. Telek, the CEO, his name is Glenn Telek, he has an ideal background and has been really aggressive in growing his company. They have between, of course it varies, but they have between 6,000 and 7,800 employees worldwide. So needless to say, they have a big impact on the Wisconsin economy. And I think the wonderful story about this is that they were in shipbuilding, building ships and boats since about 1901, so just for decades and decades. And then they sold off those assets and have utilized the money to expand in other areas, particularly manufacturing cranes and also commercial refrigeration equipment. And all countries, whether they're small or large or struggling country or an affluent company, needs refrigeration equipment. So they're a real model Wisconsin company. And Glenn is a very educated, interesting, fun, and energetic speaker. People will really enjoy listening to him.
Now you would think, you know, manufacturing would be a primary concern of a conference like this, and it is, but you've also got the healthcare field involved, and Gene Bergner and you and Dwayne Irwin, the president and CEO, are two of the presenters for Aspirus Hospital. Many of us are very familiar with Aspirus. It's our local hospital here in Wausau. It's where you go for emergency room care or for surgery, and it might strike some of the people who have been used to this institution for decades that you would even be worried about something like global competition. How do you get involved in this conference?
Well, I think that Aspirus is invited to present particularly because we were the recipient of a large grant of almost $500,000 from the federal government, which would allow us to implement a telehealth program. Telehealth really also can start thinking about medical tourism and the opportunity to provide care at great distance. Now, of course, our intent isn't to become global, but our intent is to use telehealth to become more regional and provide specialty care where it does not exist.
Now, you've already become quite regional. In the last 15 years, you've expanded to Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids, Rhinelander, up in the North Woods. You've got a helicopter, and I know I'm just glazing the surface here. You've done a lot more in terms of taking this Aspirus brand and moving it outside of the immediate Wausau area.
Well, and you've only missed the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. The Western UP is also, Aspirus has three hospitals in that area.
So telehealth, tell us what that is, and I don't want you to go into too much detail right now. We'll get into more detail later, but the main parts of your presentation.
Well, I can share with you that telehealth is a physician who is sitting in his office and has a very a great desktop device that allows him to communicate with a patient, let's say right on Lake Superior, and he can hear through a stethoscope, he can use an otoscope, and technology allows it to be actually like a virtual visit as though the patient were right there in the room with him.
Is that the wave of the future? We're going to be getting more and more of our healthcare over the internet and over the television screen at home?
Well, I think we're going to be utilizing, especially in rural health and the more remote areas, we're going to be seeing a lot more use of telehealth to bring specialty services to patients who are not close to large trauma centers.
Let's bring in David Ward now, our third guest this afternoon. He's the CEO of North Star Economics of Madison and Sturgeon Bay. He's joining us by telephone from Kansas City. And just for some background information, Dr. Ward had a 32-year career with the University of Wisconsin. He was a professor of finance on campuses at Green Bay and Oshkosh, served 6 years as a senior vice president and chief academic officer for the University of Wisconsin system, and he was an interim chancellor at both UW-Green Bay and UW-Oshkosh. So, David, you bring both an academic perspective and a business perspective to this subject. Tell us what North Star Economics is and why all of this is important to you.
Well, North Star Economics is a private consulting firm of economists, and I started it when I left the UW system in the year 2000, so it's about 11 years old. We've done a lot of work in what I'll broadly describe as new economy. That is the shifting way in which the economy is operating and its implications, particularly to the Midwest. Probably our signature study, which led to the formation of the North, which is an 18-county region in northeastern Wisconsin, occurred back in 2003-2004. And then we subsequently did a study for Centergy and a couple of other regions. So we do studies that lay out economic strategies for areas that are generally multiple counties.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do other work, sort of the standard economic work like economic impact studies and feasibility studies.
You were involved with a presentation on Tuesday at the Marathon County Public Library that was also sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service and the Center-Right Coalition of Wausau. The subject, very much in line with this conference coming up on October 6th, it was titled Direct Foreign Investment, Creating Jobs and Helping Wisconsin Tap Global Markets. David, what were the main points that you made Tuesday evening?
Well, I think we think of globalization in terms of either exporting our product somewhere around the world or, as it sometimes gets framed up, outsourcing jobs. There's another dimension to this, which is that increasingly Wisconsin has become an interesting place for foreign investors to acquire companies or start up operations in the Wisconsin area. This is true in the Centergy area, and it's true particularly in the eastern half of the state, all the way from Marinette down to Kenosha. And it's an area that I became interested in because, as was mentioned a little while ago, Manitowoc Corporation sold its marine assets to invest in other parts of its business. Well, it sold those assets to an Italian company called Fincantieri, which now operates mm-hmm. Marinette Marine, Bayship, Ace Marine. Ace is in Green Bay. Bayship is in my hometown of Sturgeon Bay, and Marinette Marine is, of course, Marinette, and has really grown that business. So it's an example of direct foreign investment where they bought the assets for $120 million, turned right around and started investing $100 million in these shipyards to bring new technologies and new business to northeastern Wisconsin, and that flows over to the rest of the state.
You know, the traditional model for all of this is that American companies have been investing in foreign countries and buying foreign companies, so we have things kind of reversed here, and is this the only example you can think of, or is...
Oh, no. Some interesting ones. I could go on at some length. You don't want me to do that. But, for example, down in Whitewater, a small German company, 500 employees, has located a distribution center. It's called Simon's Work, and it's a manufacturer of hinges. So they're going to operate out of Whitewater. Several companies have decided there's a German company that's just decided to open up a hydraulics manufacturing operation in the Brookfield area.
Okay.
Up in the northern part of the state, we have a couple of other examples of one being a company that makes essentially sausage casings and other meat processing products. It's a Dutch company. It's located in Green Bay. And the final example is a company called SEDA, S-E-D-A, which is an Italian company, and it's in the packaging business, opening its first operation in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
So it's your impression that Central Wisconsin can benefit from this this new global economy, and I imagine it works both ways. Of course, you have companies from overseas investing in Central Wisconsin companies, but Central Wisconsin companies could also compete in an overseas market. How can locally owned companies effectively break into something like a global economy?
Well, there is a little bit of groundwork that needs to be laid for that, but we have some pretty good resources in the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, the old Wisconsin Department of Commerce, and several other facilities provided by the federal government that can help businesses getting into the global marketplace. And so that I think is a very achievable thing. There are remarkable companies, I think, throughout the state. We've done some work in the Synergy region, and you stumble on these companies, and many of them are already going global. Oftentimes it happens through the Internet.
David Ward, he is the CEO of North Star Economics. We've also got independent economic consultant Mary Roberts and Gene Bergner of Aspirus Hospital. Gene and Mary involved in a conference on global competitiveness coming up October 6th on the UW Marathon County campus. How can Wisconsin businesses compete in a global economy? It's the subject today on Route 51. We'd like you to join us at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. The subject today is how Wisconsin businesses can compete in a global economy. My guest, Gene Bergner of Aspirus Hospital, independent economic consultant Mary Roberts, and also David Ward, the CEO of North Star Economics. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. David, you're one of the leaders of a task force of the UW system that's begun to lay out data and possible target areas for future economic initiatives. Tell us about that task force and about how direct foreign investment could work for central Wisconsin's economy.
Well, the task force is formed up as a result of that Italian purchase of those shipyard assets in northern Wisconsin. There's a kind of a long but interesting story that I'll spare you.
Well, you don't have to spare us.
So as I was asking about that company, and I at the time I was serving as the interim chancellor at Green Bay, I found out that it turns out this company makes about 70% of the cruise ships in the world. So it wasn't a small player that was coming to the Wisconsin market. I happened to run into Gilles Bousquet, the dean of international studies at Madison, and we talked, and I said, I really want to learn a lot more about this company because I think it bears great importance to this New North region that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to hook me up with an accountant in Italy who sent a nice background on the company, nothing confidential, but great overall perspective. And from that, Gilles and I talked about, well, you know, this network that is a part of the university system, if you think about, we send students to study abroad, we have international students study on campuses, we have international faculty, we send faculty abroad, faculty have connections around the world. We know about geography, economics, culture, language. Aren't those great assets in a world that's becoming more and more global and could help not only attract direct foreign investment, but help our companies in their process of exporting? So that's kind of the genesis of it. We presented the idea to Kevin Riley, who's president of the UW system,
right,
and he's backed us now for a couple of years to kind of get this low-budget operation going. So we think that Wisconsin is in a very interesting and perhaps advantageous position. Normally we're not, you know, normally.
You'd think that most of the global investment, especially for something like shipbuilding, would go to the coasts, you know, the East Coast or
exactly.
The West Coast. Why central Wisconsin? How could an Italian firm like this, Fincantieri, am I pronouncing that right?
That's right.
How did they even hear about Manitowoc Corporation, let alone gain enough interest to purchase a company?
So they were interested in penetrating the North American markets. the market where they are, which is largely in Europe, Italy, I know, and one shipyard in Germany, is pretty mature. So they were looking to get into naval shipbuilding, which is something they hadn't done. So Marinette Marine does naval ships, and they were interested in the one in Ace Marine in Green Bay does Coast Guard work, their new response boat. So the way for them to get into the market was to buy the company. But the interesting sidelight to that is that eventually what's going to happen, I think, is that that direct foreign investment, now owned by the Italians, is going to turn into an export market as we sell ships to South America or other countries who are interested in various kinds of naval vessels.
So Mary, here we see global trade going two ways, and you've got the CEO of the Manitowoc Company, Glenn Tellock, at this conference.
Yes, we do. It's a very nice synergy. It wasn't particularly planned, but we're delighted that we can capitalize on it, and he can give us the long story, the full story, and it is working both ways, and it's advantageous to both. I would also like to add that this opportunity, this conference, is such an affordable training opportunity, and I think most budgets in Central Wisconsin companies do not have many dollars available for training. So here we have these high-powered people right here in Wausau.
It's $50 for adults and $5 for students. And again, if you're interested, you can check it out on the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce website. I'm Glenn Moberg. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. The subject today, how Central Wisconsin businesses can be made profitable and thrive in today's global marketplace. We have David Ward, CEO of North Star Economics, with us on the telephone. Also here in our studio, Gene Bergner, the Vice President of Post-Acute Care at Aspirus Hospital, and independent economic consultant Mary Roberts. Mary Roberts and Gene Bergner both working on a conference on global competitiveness that will take place October 6th at the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus in Wausau. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. David and Mary, I'd like you to weigh in on this, too. As I said in the introduction to the show, there are many voices in America right now and for the past two decades who have criticized America's participation in the new global economy, particularly our free trade agreements. You'll find opposition cutting across political lines. For instance, we've got conservative Republican commentator Pat Buchanan, who's taken a protectionist stance, saying we should take care of ourselves and not worry about the rest of the world. Liberal labor leaders like James Hoffa blaming free trade and outsourcing for the loss of union jobs and the decline of the middle class. And the former Senate Majority Leader of Wisconsin, Russ Decker of Wausau, told me on this show during the last election cycle that if he could, he'd repeal NAFTA and all the free trade agreements. And then 20 years ago, we have Ross Perot, viewed by many as a centrist, and an independent businessman warning that NAFTA would lead to a giant sucking sound of jobs leaving the U.S. for Mexico. So we've got all this criticism coming from many different people of different ideological perspectives, and they would say that their criticism has been borne out. We've lost our manufacturing jobs. There are millions of additional Americans living in poverty. We've got chronic unemployment. We owe hundreds of billions of dollars to China. We've got an incredible national debt. And we don't make anything in America anymore. And I guess what's really telling is that there's no hope, it seems, for a person with just a high school diploma that they can go out and get a good-paying job for life, which was certainly the case when I was a young man growing up. So faced with all of this, David, how do you respond to these critics of the global economy and outsourcing and free trade agreements who say this is really a bad deal for America?
Well, I had a slide on Tuesday night. The U.S. share of the global gross domestic product, in other words, in the world, which is about $65 trillion right now. But let's go back to 1950. Post-war, we were 35% of the world economy. By 1970, we were 27% of the global economy. And by 2010, we were 22% of the global economy. So as you're looking forward, we're going to be even less than 20% of the global economy in less than 5 years. What that says, if you kind of flip that number, is when you look at global markets, 80% of global markets are going to be outside of the United States. So the notion that somehow, either by not trading or by reducing trade, you're going to prosper flies in the face of where the markets are. They're over there. And I think we've discovered that in Wisconsin. Now, sometimes it means that Wisconsin companies and others build a plant over there because it's closer to that market. But the interesting thing about that, I think, happens in globalization, particularly with direct foreign investment, is there's pretty good evidence that when a foreign company starts an operation in Wisconsin, they end up exporting. Why do they end up exporting? Because they know the global market. So I really think that it's a market argument. Do you want to try to kind of hold the cards close to your vest and try to stay at 20% of the global economy? Or are you going to, or do you want to go out and get some of that global market?
Mary, would you like to weigh in on this?
Yes, I would. I certainly have to acknowledge that there are some problems with free trade and with NAFTA, and I think people should be politically informed and they should be politically active relative to free trade. But I think because the U.S. population is really in the global economy quite becoming a small population and an older population, we just can't be isolationist, and we are in the new economy, like it or not. I mean, some people in central Wisconsin may simply want to hunt and fish and maybe own a home and have a simple life, but if our whole area is going to stay economically vibrant, we have to change our perspective and we have to participate in the global economy. And one thing that I think Cenergy has looked at, and I think we will look at more in the future, is how many of our companies and particularly our manufacturers are aging. We have a lot of aging industries. We have a lot of industries that are right in the middle. We don't have a real dynamic pool of entrepreneurs. We certainly have some young companies. We don't have tremendously active venture investors. A lot of that is done very privately, and I'm not sure if we really have a large enough market to expect people to be angel investors. But people, whether it's bankers or lawyers or physicians or manufacturers who have dollars to invest, are interested in growing our market. So I think we need to look more at venture investing. And I've had talks with people about doing a venture fair in this area. And they're done in Milwaukee and Madison routinely. But we need to have though one of those, a venture fair, at least once a year, if not twice a year.
Well, Gene Bergner, a lot of the criticism about the global marketplace has been centered on manufacturing and the loss of manufacturing jobs through outsourcing. But here you're in the healthcare field, you're at Aspirus Hospital, and you're becoming interested in the global economy.
Well, I think it's important that we begin to accept that this technology has made us connected to the world. Virtually, there are no barriers anymore. And another key word in all of this is innovation. We can't keep thinking of doing things the way we have always done it. And I always like to say if we did, there'd be an awful lot of, there'd be quite a few horses and buggies out in the parking lot. So we need to look at innovation, and we really are part of the world.
And David, you know, to bring things back to manufacturing just briefly, here's the argument that I've heard from union people. When you allow companies to outsource jobs and allow unrestricted free trade, You're forcing American workers to compete with slave labor overseas, people working in factories for just pennies a day, horrible conditions, for companies that don't have to meet our environmental regulations. So what they say is that this kind of competition undermines more than 100 years of hard-fought victories for the labor movement and for American workers, and it's created a race to the bottom for all of us.
Well, a couple of points about that. One is the notion that somehow countries outside of the U.S. don't meet environmental regulations. If you talk to any country, any company that's locating in around the globe, they'll tell you there's a lot of regulation. Maybe it's environmental, maybe it's involving other things. But so I don't think that bears much fruit. The notion of labor. And the idea that someone in China makes a dollar a day or whatever, a number, although right now, you know what, China's got pretty high inflation, and it's largely because their wages are rising, which is to be expected. The point of the matter is that increasingly labor as the component of a product is dropping as a percentage of the product. So we make a lot more paper today than we did 10 years ago with a lot fewer people. That's productivity. And that's, to me, that's what's really been the major driver of reducing manufacturing jobs. We're just a lot more productive. And finally, I'd point out, you know, the Italians came in and bought those assets from Manitowoc Corporation. Those are unionized shipyards.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have unions in Italy. They have unions here. The Germans are used to a lot more unionization. So they're not uncomfortable with that. And so I don't think it's the presence or the absence of unions that make a huge difference. It's the quality of the workforce. And I think there's still an advantage in Wisconsin in the quality and the work ethic of the workforce that makes us attractive.
But I think you just punctured quite a few stereotypes and misconceptions that people had. You know, I haven't heard guests on this or any other show talk about the amount of regulations and particularly environmental regulations that American companies have to deal with overseas. But while we're talking about China, and we do have some breaking news on this subject, and I'd like, David, especially you to weigh in. There's a bipartisan bill right now before the U.S. Senate. It's sponsored or written by a couple of Democrats, Senator Sherrod Brown and Chuck Schumer of New York, that would slap tariffs on China and other countries that keep their currency artificially low. Widespread belief that China is not playing fair in world trade and that they need to be punished for this or we need to bring them in line. The group, the Club for Growth, a libertarian organization, says if we did this, it would start a trade war with China and it would be devastating to the American economy. From your perspective as both a businessman and from your academic perspective, how do you see all of this playing out and how dangerous or how beneficial do you think this legislation would be?
Well, I think that trying to legislate based on currency exchange is well beyond the expertise of most politicians. I mean, I'll be candid about that. We don't want a trade war. If you look at the percentage of the Wisconsin economy, we have about $20 billion in exports out of a $250 billion economy. That's, you know, that's a pretty good chunk of our economy. So I don't think we gain a lot for trade war. That said, There is a monetary argument here about the Chinese trying to keep the value of their currency artificially low, but I think that probably gets resolved in a bigger forum because I think the Europeans are just as concerned about it as we are. So it's probably not the worst thing in the world to have a little jawboning going on and some legislation introduced. I think that's part of the dance that's out there. But I think it'd be a serious mistake to get into a trade war. That's what happened, you know, in the Hoover administration as we slapped tariffs. And whether or not that caused the Great Depression is debatable, but I don't think it helped.
And what is the likelihood that we'll be able to do actual business in China? And Gene Bergner, with the Spirus Hospital and the telehealth initiative that you've got, can you see Chinese people logging on and maybe making use of professionals in central Wisconsin somewhere down the line? I mean, you're branching out on a regional basis here, but with the internet, it's got global reach, so I guess anything could happen.
Well, it certainly does, and I think when you look at the potential for patients coming from afar to Wausau, but then being able to have their follow-up care from afar using telehealth, all of that becomes possible. There will always be some person-to-patient contact, patient-to-physician contact, but follow-up care accommodated by technology, I think, is a very possibility.
Is this something a lot of regional health companies are doing?
Well, I know that some of the larger health systems, when their patients, actually those baby boomers who want to spend the winters in warm places like Costa Rica, actually just maintain their physician relationship utilizing telemedicine. And they're in Costa Rica, and their physician's in Cleveland.
And I did see something on the PowerPoint presentation. You talk about the three guarantees of change. Gene, you say change is here to stay. It will not be trouble-free, and you are accountable. Management's job is not to make everyone happy. It's to move people through the change process and hold everyone accountable.
You know, I think right now if we took the word change and we eliminated it and said innovation, it might wear a whole lot better with all of us. But those are the three accountabilities of change. It is here, and it is moving fast. And get on the boat.
How to make Wisconsin companies competitive in a global economy. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guests, Gene Bergner of Aspirus Hospital, economic consultant Mary Roberts, and also David Ward, the CEO of North Star Economics. We'll be back with more after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you'd like to weigh in on globalization, the global economy, whether it's good for central Wisconsin businesses, if you see the opportunity as well as the downside, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And Mary Roberts, one of the local success stories in Wausau that has really become a global success story is the whole story of East Bay and Foot Locker. And that also is something that comes into play at this conference of yours, October 6th.
Yes, it does, and I'd like to speak to that. Dick Johnson will be one of our key presenters, and he will be speaking about distribution systems and automation. I guess the fun part is that he'll also be showing us through PowerPoint the type of styles in athletic shoes and athletic wear that appeal to Asian markets and European markets and then U.S. markets. So that contrast will be fun. But East Bay is certainly a wonderful entrepreneur story, a story of two and three entrepreneurs. As you may remember, if you've lived in Wausau for a while, the company was sold about 1999 or 2000 to Foot Locker, and Dick Johnson was the president of East Bay, and then it was sold to Foot Locker, and he continued his career with Foot Locker, and he's had a great career ascent. He has done really well with the company after he left Wausau. Then he lived in the Netherlands for 4.5 years and ran the European operations for Foot Locker as they expanded. And he had to obviously acclimate to the change and learn new languages, etc. And now he is the top person in New York for Foot Locker at corporate. So he's the executive VP of the company and also the group president of all retail stores. So he is flying in from New York, and it's very good of him to do this because he'll be flying in the night before, and then he needs to leave right after his talk and has to fly immediately back to New York. But he...
Yeah, this is a guy who really, you know, cut his teeth right here in central Wisconsin.
Yes, he did, and he's had a very successful career. He's very proud of that, and he speaks openly about how when he visits, or if he ever retires here or comes back, but when he visits, he wants central Wisconsin to continue to have an active, vibrant economy. So he is committed enough to do all of this for us. And it's a success story from the founding partners or the founding investors. They sold the company for a little over $45 million. So needless to say, that money has been able to be reinvested in our company, in our community. And then we also, as a result of that, have another foundation that has been very generous, and that is the Gehring Foundation, Rick Gehring and Sue Gehring's foundation. So that is another positive part of the story. And the other positive part is that distribution systems are growing in complexity, and people need to learn about those, and they need to see best practices, learn from best practices, and Dick Johnson is going to do a lot of that.
David Ward is the experience of Dick Johnson and Foot Locker. Is that kind of one of the models of how a global marketplace can work for us?
I think it is. That if you look at successful enterprises, for example, maybe people have heard of a company called Wausaukee Composites, located in Wausaukee, Wisconsin, which is east of Wausau. They supply 70% of the casings for MRI machines to the world market. So we've got, and GE X-ray is another great example of that down in the Milwaukee area. So we've got these tremendous success stories of companies that have built world-class products, and they are world exporters and world financial corporations.
And Gene Bergner, healthcare is something that isn't going away anytime soon. In fact, as we have an aging population, more and more people are going to need healthcare. The innovations continue. And we've got a tremendous medical establishment, not just Aspirus, but also Marshfield Clinic and ministry in central Wisconsin. If we can extend our reach through globalization, that might help us keep this high-quality healthcare around in central Wisconsin.
Well, it certainly will. And when you look at where providers in central Wisconsin are recognized as some of the best in the country, so being able to share those services to or that type of care to people throughout even the world is a good opportunity.
David Ward, I'd like you to weigh in on how you see things going with the global economy, the global marketplace, the resistance to it that we see among some quarters in American politics. What's your best case and your worst case scenario for American Central Wisconsin over the next 20 to 30 years?
Well, I think the best case scenario is that we continue on the path that we're on right now, which is to get into the global markets, to provide jobs for central Wisconsin and all of Wisconsin. And we have some tremendous assets that give us a competitive advantage in the global marketplace. I think the worst case scenario is that somehow this all breaks down into a trade war. And the trade wars don't have any victors. They only have people and countries that suffer as a result. So I think that's sort of the worst-case scenario. I think there'll always be discourse, and there should be discourse about trade, and that's a very important political issue. But I hope that we keep on the path we're on right now.
David, thank you so much. Also, Gene, thank you. Mary, thank you. David Ward, the CEO of North Star Economics, Gene Bergner, the Vice President of Post-Acute Care at Aspirus Hospital, and independent economic consultant Mary Roberts. A reminder that the conference on global competitiveness is scheduled for October 6th at the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County campus in Wausau, sponsored by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, the Wausau Region Chamber of Commerce, and Centergy. If you'd like to register or find out more, you can check out the Chamber's website, wausauchamber.com. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, we welcome the family of Joe Bodavis of Minocqua, who kayaked all the way around Lake Superior this past summer. It's a feel-good show of a family adventure that turned into a learning experience that we can all learn from. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for riding along with us. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.